بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت عائشة رضي الله عنها reports رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم was in his final moments. His Mubarak head was resting on my body. And in that moment, Hazrat Abdul Rahman, that was my brother, had come in. He had a fresh miswak. Hazrat Rasulullah had stared towards it as though he also liked to use it. So I understood that he also wanted to use it. And I softened the miswak for him and then passed it on to him. He made miswak, and such a beautiful miswak he had made, like he had never made before. So he was so close to me in his final moments, as though my saliva had mixed up with his saliva. His Mubarak head was lying on my body in my room. And then the last words that he had uttered, اللهم اغفر لي وارحمني وألحقني بالرفيق الأعلى. Last words that he had uttered was, O Allah Ta'ala, do forgive me and have mercy upon me and join me with the highest companions. Nonetheless, this dua shows that the last word was istighfar. The last sentence was istighfar. Though the very last dua was, join me with the highest assembly, highest companion. Apart from the importance, the significance, and the need to make tawbah and istighfar, here Nabi Sallam with his own Mubarak action is showing us the importance for doing this. At any given point, a mu'min cannot be complacent. He cannot be confident of himself. He doesn't know what he may have slipped up in his approach, his thinking, his ways, his mannerisms, his words, somewhere down the line he may have gone wrong. And the safest thing for him to do when he is compounded mistake, man, is a combination of mistakes. When he is a combination of mistakes, then what is the sensible thing for him to do? Sensible thing for him to do is ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. He may think that what he has done is absolutely right, there is no wrong in it, there is no problem in it. Allah Ta'ala describes the features of the believers, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. After doing what they are doing, the charitable works, the sacrifices, whatever good works they are doing, وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ, yet their hearts are gripped with tremor. Their hearts are gripped with fear. The fact that they have to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts them into a state of fear. That Aisha radiallahu anha asked, okay, who are these people? Are they robbers? Are they people that are committing zina that they are so afraid? Said, no. They do all the right, and in spite of doing all the right, yet their hearts are in the state of fear. So this is the state of a mu'min. He can't become complacent. One, two persons give him a few words of praise and applause. He cannot become at ease because of that. He'll only become at ease when he has passed the winning point. At the winning point, then he is at rest. But before the winning point, then he is in a state where he cannot say exactly where he's going to. Unpredictable. He's in an unpredictable state yet. Going this way or that way, he doesn't know about it. The Quran Sharif says, إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينِ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةٍ. Allah Ta'ala accepts the tawbah of those people who do wrong in ignorance. The word that has been used by the Quran is bijahalatin, people that have committed wrong in ignorance. The word ignorance that is spoken about here is not the fact that you don't know that this wrong is wrong. Person that is committing zina, he knows what I'm doing is wrong. He is in interest, he knows what he is doing is wrong. Then what is this tawbah and istighfar? That Allah Ta'ala says that I accept the tawbah of this person, I accept his forgiveness. Since he's used the word, إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى الَّذِينِ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةٍ, accepts the tawbah of those people, accepts the repentance of those people who wrong in ignorance. So the meaning that has been taken here by most or all the Mufassirin is he is ignorant at that moment of the consequence of his wrong. Not that this is wrong, he knows that this wrong is wrong, this is wrong, he knows it. But he is, at that moment, his mind and his intelligence is shut off from the consequence of the wrong. When you speak to a person who is wronged, something or the other, whether it was zina or riba or whatever he got involved in, whether it was a pawn, whether it was whatever, but you ask him, but why, what made you do that? And he tells you, at that moment, my mind just shut off. I just shut off and I did the wrong. Then I came to my senses after that. I came to my senses, I came to my understanding after I have committed this. So this shows two things. One is that at that moment he doesn't have the consequence of the wrong at heart. Number two, when he came around, he came back, he didn't justify the wrong that he did. Right. If a person is involved in a casino, for example, so he's wronged. And after he's come out, then he didn't justify the wrong that he's done. He didn't say, for example, as a person that is involved in usury, he doesn't say, well, innamal bay'u mithlu riba. What's the difference between trade and usury? You're getting something in exchange, you're getting. In trade also you're getting something in exchange. In usury you're also getting something in exchange. So he didn't give an explanation to the wrong that he's doing. He didn't justify his wrong. The justifying of the wrong, this is something that is very much detestable, very much disgusted by Allah Ta'ala. But the person does the wrong, and then he's got the heart to still come out to Allah Ta'ala, say, Allah, I wronged. He accepts his wrong, he acknowledges, he confesses his wrong. He says that definitely I am guilty. Now then he has threaded the path of Adam alayhi salam. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا, I have wronged myself. At the end of our namaz, then we say, إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي ظُلْمًا كَثِيرًا. Again you confessed your wrong. I have wronged. أَبُوُ لَكَ بِنِعْمَتِكَ عَلَيَّ وَأَبُوُ بِذَنْبِي. I confess my wrong, I acknowledge. Whatever wrong it is, but I accept it. I don't look for ways to justify the wrong that I have done. Person who doesn't justify, then Allah Ta'ala looks at him with mercy. His iman is safe, and Allah Ta'ala also looks towards him with mercy. But when a person does a wrong, then he begins to justify the wrong that he is doing, then he is in a very, very dangerous position. Very dangerous position. position. Because he is on the brink of losing his iman. And apart from that, now Allah Ta'ala won't forgive him. Because he is doing a wrong and he is not showing any remorse. No remorse whatsoever. He had some remorse, at least, all right, the doors were still open. But now he's doing a wrong and then he has no remorse over it. Just changed the name. And then after changing the name, and he feels that what he's done is right. You just repackaged the liquor that you were drinking, repackaged it. So repackaging that liquor, does it make it halal? Usually now you repackage the whole word, usually, you repackaged it. Right. Now does that make it permissible and halal? No. But haram is haram. Like you see a casino, right? You're getting something that you don't deserve, right? Gambling, you're getting something that you don't deserve. And usury also is something that you don't deserve. Now the modern type of usury is, for example, say life insurance, for example, right? So now, there's two elements here. The one is the element of usury, and one is the element of gambling. There's two elements. One element of gambling, and one element of casino. Both these elements are in this insurance. How does it come up? How does it feature? It features like this. That in a usury transaction, what happens? You get something for nothing. You get something without an exchange. Understand? I gave you 2 rands. I was supposed to get 2 rands for the 2 rands that I have given you. But I'm giving you 2 rands, and for the 2 rands that I'm giving you, I'm receiving 3 rands, for example. So the 2 rands is settling the 2 rands. And the 1 additional rand, where is it coming from? That is just in exchange of the time. So it doesn't have any exchange. So you're making a demand for something that you don't deserve. There's nothing that you have given, and you're making a demand for the nothing that you have given. See, 2 rands against 2 rands, all right. You gave 2 rands and you're receiving 2 rands. No problem. Now, you've given 2 rands, but in exchange of the 2 rands, you're asking for 3 rands. So the 2 rands that settle the 2 rands, at 1 rand, what is it in exchange of? Nothing. It's an exchange of time. Nothing else. Is there anything else? Nothing else. So now this is usury. Right? Then you talk of gambling, then the very essence of gambling. What is the essence of gambling? The essence of gambling is that exchange that you get is subject to some unpredictable event. Right? You're giving something and the return is going to be based upon some unpredictable event. That's going to be the return. And the return can be both to your loss and to your gain, but is subject totally to something that is unpredictable. Right? Like if this horse is coming first, then you're getting 1 million rands for your 1 million rands. Right? And if it's not coming first, then you're getting nothing. That 1 million rands of yours is all taken away. So it's subject to something that is unpredictable. Do you know that this horse is coming out first or not coming out first? You don't know about it. So it's subject to what? An unpredictable event. And you have the chance equally to lose or to gain. The chances of losing is also possible. The chances of winning also is possible. Both ways, loss and gain, you have the chances of losing, you have the chances of gain, of winning. Right? So this is then called gambling. Now, then again look at an insurance scheme, right? When you look at an insurance scheme, then what happens? You are giving a monthly contribution. Say, you're giving 10 rand contribution every month, right? For what? You're giving a 10 rand contribution towards your motor car, right? It's a motor car insurance, you give 10 rands every month, right? At the end of 1 year, you have given 120 rands. And it coincided in some terrible motor car accident. Your car went beyond repairs. How much you have given? 120 rands. And how much they're going to give you now? 100,000 rands. So all right, you have given 120 rands. If they give you back that 120 rands, they have given you what you have given them. But this excess that you have got is an exchange of what? It's an exchange of what? Obviously, there is no exchange for this. Either they give you that 120 rands, or like in a medical insurance, what happens? They give you that excess, right? You say, again, you've paid 120 rands, 10 rands premium every month. End of 1 year, then you paid 120 rands. At the end of that year, now you have to go for a heart surgery, right? Heart surgery, how much it cost you? Cost you, say, 500,000 rand, right? How much you gave? 120 rands. So now this 400,000 rands plus, right? What you got in exchange of? There's no exchange. So what is the difference between this and usury of a bank? The interest of the bank, and this, is there any difference? No difference. Right. And then the element of gambling also is existent here, because the reward that comes to you is subject to an unpredictable event. You don't know you're going to get a problem or not. Do you know? You don't know. It may be that the contributions that you have given, right, you will forfeit all your contribution because you didn't get a heart attack, you didn't get sick, right? When you didn't get sick now, you forfeited all your contributions. You can't say, now I stop all my contributions, so give me my money back. Can you say that? Can you tell them? Can't tell them. So the 120 that you have given, you have lost all. So getting, gaining and losing, both are equal, identical. So this is what happens in gambling. Right? So in this type of a transaction, both elements are present. Both elements exist. Whether it is gambling, whether it is usury, both exist. Now again, you get this group of people that want to justify, whether they call them Muslims, Islamic, bank, whatever. And in that, you have a takaful division, right? Now, if you look at a takaful division and you compare it against an insurance scheme, there's no difference. Besides a change of words, besides a play of words, there is no difference. Just change the words here and all that. So now I'm taking a fees for what? Taking fees for, if there was, for example, a motor car accident, then we'll need an actuary to come up to the scene and to try and estimate the loss and estimate the accident. He'll come up to the scene and the actuary will come and estimate what happened, what is the case here, what is the reality, is his claim right, not right. So he'll come and do this, right? So we are taking a fees for what? To pay and see the actuary. All right, if you are taking a fees for that, then you're going to give this person this big lump sum at the end of the period in lieu of what? So at some point, again, you find that this takaful scheme also is, there's no difference between the takaful scheme and the insurance scheme. Some ulama had come here some years ago, so they were speaking about the takaful scheme. So I asked them, how does it work? I knew how it works. But just to show them that there is no difference between this and the conventional insurance, just to prove it to them, I asked them how it works. So they said, all right, you're giving, say, a premium of 10 rands every month. Right? All right. Then they have got a certain cover. Their cover is, for example, 100,000 rands. So the maximum that they can, you can get a payout is 100,000 rands. Beyond that, they will not pay you, right? So I asked, all right, then if you've got a claim for more than 100,000 rands, say 200,000 rands, then what these people do? So no, see, the 10 rands that you give to them, from that they give say 2 rands to the mother company. This is a small insurance broker. Then there's a mother company after that. So the small broker, he will give say 2 rand from the 10 rand that he received to the mother company. So why do you give it to the mother company? The mother company is like the actuary. They will come and check everything, the legal aspects of it, they'll come and check that this person's claims are right or not right, they're justified or not justified. So they take a fees for them coming here, right? All right. But now we want to know that you're giving them the 2 rands, what else has happened? What else happens? He says, no, in the Kaful scheme, this mother company, they will see and estimate the loss. If the loss goes beyond 100,000, beyond these people's cover, right, beyond these people's ceiling, then they will take on that cover on them, on their head. But they will just add that word, what they will say, well, that mother company, they have the right to reject or to give you. They wish to give you that additional 100,000 they can give you, and they wish to refuse, they will refuse. So they will just give you as an assistance, see. They will give you that additional, but they will give you, how they will give you that additional? As an assistant, as a help. Right. Now, what has happened here? Effectively, what has happened? Is it not a change of words, play of words? Say tomorrow, you went to a bank, right? And the bank tells you, we're not going to give you usury, we're not going to give you interest. You're putting 100 rand, so we won't give you that extra 10 rand because of your 100 rand. But because of our kindness, we'll give you 10 rands more. We'll give you a gift. And we'll give you according to our discretion. We want to give it to you, we'll give it to you. We don't want to give it to you, we won't give it to you. Right? We'll give it to you according to our discretion. Right? So the bank also changes and plays with words. We say, no, the insurance can play with words. Why can't we play with words? Today you must play with words. So they're playing with words. We can also play words. Because now they'll take all the business and we'll get lost. No? See? They'll take all the business and we'll be losers. So if they can play with words, why can't we play with words? See? We need to understand that in this day and time, when there is a financing home, right? The financing home is not for sawab. It's not for sawab. And the financing home is not for any loss as well. Not only not for sawab, but it is not for any loss also. They will try their best that they don't suffer any loss. They mustn't. The loss will come to the client. To them, they are free of any loss. So when there is only gain, then is this a right type of a transaction? In a business, you can lose or you can gain. And do they have the chance of losing? They hardly have a chance of losing. All the loss will be borne by the client. They will not lose at all. The client will bear the loss. So they just use the word that the bank or the insurance will use, the mother company will use its discretion. And when they feel that they should be giving something, they'll give it according to the discretion, just as a help. Right? You see, they'll give it just as a help. Or just as a token, they will give you another 10 rands. Right? Now what they have done, they have changed the name. Now I say that if the bank also uses the same type of a strategy and change the name, then shouldn't they be legal? Now come again now, you went from a insurance, you went to a bank. From the bank, you come to a lottery, right? Now, everybody is giving lottery 10 rands, contributing towards a lottery scheme, 10 rands, right? So, all that they accumulate, where is it going to go to? Say that all that they accumulate will go to, say, Kamashu, right? Kamashu, there was someone that was struck with some type of a calamity. So these people that are struck with calamities, we're going to help them all out, right? So the lottery has got a good intention. Can you see the intention is right, right? What's the intention to go and help those people that are struck with some type of a musibat day? Kamashu, right? So we need to help those people with 10 million rands. Now, they sold out lottery tickets, right? And they said all the proceeds will go to them, right? In the meanwhile, they also got a system to collect that money, you see. Because now we need to enhance people to contribute. They're not going to just contribute like this. If there is some type of a competition, then they will contribute. Right? So what they do now is all that they accumulate, they say, all right, we'll have a lucky draw. In that lucky draw, whoever comes, whoever's names come, whoever's name appears, will give 1 million rand. Right? Right. Whoever's name comes in, will give him a 1 million rand. Right. So this 1 million rand, we'll just give him as a gift, we'll give him. Not because of lottery or something, just as a gift, you know, as a token, we'll give him some 1 million rand, we'll give him. Right. As a gift, you know. We're not supposed to be giving him, but we'll use our discretion and we'll think, all right, whoever is the candidate will give him a 1 million rand. So will this lottery become permissible? So what the insurance did, the bank did the same, the lottery company did the same. I ask you now, will there be the concept of haram, will it ever remain? Does it need to remain? You can just play with words, and after the play of the words, this all this haram can become halal. Just a little bit of a play of words. It's, I don't call it, usually it's quite a gift. I'm giving of my own discretion. When I feel like giving, I will give. So Takaful did the same. And when Takaful did the same, the bank said, why must we lose this clientele? We must also get a clientele. If they can get a clientele, we must also get a clientele. Then lottery company said, hey, these people are cashing in. Why must I get lost? Why must I suffer a loss? So lottery company said, no, we must also gain. So this whole haram thing will ever remain. So it goes back again to this Jewish conspiracy where they said, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ الرِّبَى. Jew, when that riba became haram, what he said, a business transaction and usually are identical because you're getting something for the money that you have given. Getting an exchange for the money that you have given. Bay also, in a business transaction also, same thing happens, that you're giving something and you're getting a return for what you have given. So both are identical in that respect. So if this is permissible, then that must be permissible. So Allah Pak says, what will happen to them? One is they'll die as kafirs, finish. Because of the halalizing. What? Because of their halalizing, and they justifying, what's going to happen? They're going to lose the iman, right? Number one. Number two, لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ. When they have to get up from the graves, they will get up like mad people. Why? Because they tried to show their intelligence. Really, what they tried to prove was their stupidity. Because they tried to show their stupidity, therefore they will get up from the graves as mad people. Someone has been struck and he's insane, he's mad, how he carries on. So they will get up from the graves in that manner. But the strange thing is, Allah Ta'ala doesn't say why this reasoning of theirs is wrong. He didn't say, did he say after that in the verse? Allah only says, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. It is declared usury as haram, and he has declared business transactions as permissible. This is declared as permissible, this is declared as impermissible. That's all. Close the story. He didn't get into the nitty-gritty, he didn't give the explanation. Now the question is, why didn't Allah give the explanation to it? He didn't give the explanation to it because it was abundantly clear. Absolutely clear, so he didn't need to give an explanation. Right. It's absolutely clear, so there was no need for Allah Ta'ala to give an explanation to it. Right. Like, for example, we say zina is haram, right? Zina is haram. Now, someone uses his own mind and he says, well, zina is haram. Right? So, but marriage is permissible. Right? Marriage is permissible. What happens in a marriage? There is a consenting boy, consenting girl. When there is a consenting boy, there is a consenting girl. So then this comes, it amounts to a marriage, right? In the presence of witnesses. Don't you say that it's a... Right? So instead of taking a stranger, take your own sister. What that strange woman has got, the sister has got the same thing, exactly the same features she will have. There will be nothing different. But will you say now that this is permissible? Now you see, when you talk of usury, right, that same elements are found outwardly. You gave something and you got something in return, right? Then in zina, right, you've got a consenting boy and a consenting girl. Or, for example, let us make it even more vivid. It's your own sister, for example, right? Right. So there's a consenting boy, there's a consenting girl. Now, will you say that it's permissible? The same components are there. The components that were here, the same components are here. There's a boy and a girl here. There's a boy and a girl here. Right? In spite of the components being the same, do you say that this is permissible? Why? So I say, why? Say, bhai, forget that now. Don't talk of my sister. Right? So Allah says, this is not something that is subject to discussion. The discussion is closed. Ahallallahu al-biya wa harram al-riba. See that? Someone is going to talk like that, but why is your sister haram for you? What will you say? What will your response be? Suppose, bhai, this is not subject to discussion. Just forget that. I don't want to hear this subject. I'll become emotional. Won't that person's response be like that? But why is she haram? It keeps on nagging. And hey, bhai, this is not a subject for discussion. Just leave it out. So exactly the same. This is not a subject for discussion. Leave it out. That whole subject has been cut off. But you see, the same components that were here were found here. Same thing that was found here was found here. So if you're going by reasoning, then your reasoning will tell you, then your sister must be halal for you, permissible for you. Then why don't you legalize this as well? What's the difference? So because they used their stupidity, their naivety, so therefore on the day of Qiyamah, when they have to be risen from their graves, يَتَخَبَّتُوا الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسْ, they will get up like mad people. You see. Now what we are talking about is this whole exercise of legitimizing, legalizing. Now this is the game of the day. This is the game. You must know how to legalize, how to make it permissible. Any impermissibility, make it permissible, make it permissible, make it permissible. Whichever way, but just get some good name. Musharaka and Murabaha, who's all big names. And just try and legalize the thing. So that common person says, oh, Musharaka, this man, this is Murabaha. It's all permissible. But what he is doing, only Allah knows. One person, that's about 4 or 5 months ago, so he says, now I'm going to an Islamic bank to finance a vehicle. So is that permissible or not? He's financing a vehicle. So now I know the whole operation, but just to show him the wrong in this type of an approach, I asked him, all right, say for example, from the 50 installments that you had to meet, you met 30 installments, and after that, you fail to meet the installments. What's going to happen after that? You met 30 installments of that 50, and after that, you couldn't meet that installments on time. 2-3 months, you couldn't meet. So what will happen? So no, you will forfeit all the back insurance, all the contribution that you had given. You'll forfeit all that. Say now, I asked him, but you'll still want to purchase your car. No, then they will charge you something for that. They'll charge you interest for that because of the delayed payment. At 3 months or that 5 months, you couldn't meet the payments. What are they going to do now? They're going to charge you for that. See? They're going to charge you for that. Whereas they said over 50 months, payable over 50 months, right? 1, 2, came up to 30, all the installments were paid. The 31st month, you couldn't pay it. 32nd, 33rd, 34th, you can't pay it. So what are they going to do for that 4 months? They're not running a charitable organization. They're running a financial organization. So they say, now see, we incurred a loss. We incurred a loss here. 1 month, second month, third month, 4 months. For that 4 months, we're going to charge you interest. So you said what they do exactly. Then how can they call themselves Islamic then? If they are going to charge you interest, then how do they call themselves Islamic? You got your answer. So what we were speaking about today was Tawbah and Istighfar. And today, one of the biggest barrier, the obstruction on the way of Tawbah and Istighfar is, we are in the process of legalizing. So when we're legalizing, we're using our brains. And we think we are smart. So we're in the process of legalizing. In the legalizing process, we feel within our hearts that we have done right. So now you see how serious this thing becomes in the sight of Allah Ta'ala. One is the person who did the wrong, and he said, Allah Ta'ala, I did wrong. Right? When Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala had created insan and created shaitan before him, so Allah Ta'ala rejected shaitan. And shaitan then asked for certain privileges. So Allah said to him, all right, I'll give you one privilege. What privilege? That you will remain till the day of Qiyamah, right? Number two, the second privilege I will give you is you will have a control over Bani Adam. In the shaitana, layajri min al insani majrad dam. Right? So you will have the second privilege, second advantage you will have over man. One is that the one advantage you will live right till the last day. And the second advantage you will have a control over him. Right? He asked for something more. So Allah says, all right, there won't be any child that is born to the Bani Adam, but there will be a child that is born to you as well. So you will outnumber them, they will not outnumber you. So you will outnumber them, you will run into the system, you will be spared right till the day of, right till the last day, right? You will have the control over them. And the fourth advantage you will have, يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُوا مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَمْ. He can see you, you can't see them. So Allah Ta'ala gave him all these advantages against man. So man also asked, Adam alayhi salam also asked, you have given him certain things, give me some things. So Allah Ta'ala tells mankind, all right, for the wrong that you do, then one sin against one wrong. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ فَلَا يُجْزَىٰ إِلَّا مِثْلُهَا. For the one wrong that you have done, then it is just one sin that is written against your name. But for the good that you will do, then it will be multiplied tenfold. Minimum tenfold will be multiplied for one good that you will do. مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ أَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Allah, give me something more. So Allah tells him, all right, the second thing we will give you is because these people will outnumber you, then we will have the malaika that will be supporting you. لَهُ مُؤَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Malaika are supporting you, they are assisting you. So they ward away and they chase away all those shaitan that try to assault you and hurt you and harm you. Adam alayhi salam asked, Allah Ta'ala, give me something more. So Allah Ta'ala says to Adam alayhi salam, well, then the third gift that I give you is this, that before death, until before death, or until before the gurgling sound of death and the scenes of the hereafter become visible, until that time you ask for forgiveness, everything is maaf. Sincerely you ask me for forgiveness, very sincerely, you ask for forgiveness, everything is maaf, everything is wiped out. Now, when Shaitan heard of this, he really got into a distress, full of distress. My whole life's effort, in one moment, he's smashing it down. Whole life I spent to create a mountain of sin over his head. Big, big mountain, big building of sin. Mountains and mountains. And one dynamite of istighfar, and he smashed it down complete. The dynamite of istighfar is so powerful, one shot, and one istighfar, everything is flattened down. Imagine that istighfar was so powerful. The whole life effort is going to be wasted. So then Shaitan said, all right, what I will do then I will create bid'at, innovations. Right? And people will do that innovations, thinking them to be right. When you think that wrong to be right, right, then will you make istighfar for that? Like we just did Asar Namaz now. After performing Asar Namaz, we say, Allah Ta'ala, I'm wrong now, so do forgive me. Do you say that? You don't say it. Yes, you may ask for forgiveness for the weaknesses of your Namaz. But do you ask for forgiveness, Allah Ta'ala, I perform Namaz, in future I'll never perform Namaz because it's a guna. Do you say that? You don't say that. Right. Now, Shaitan will make those things appear to be right. When he will make it to be right, then will you have the heart, will you have the need to make istighfar and ask for forgiveness for it? No. So that same wine that is repackaged, now when it's repackaged, now it shows halal. So you think to yourself, well, there's no difference between this and fresh water. Right? So when both are identical, so you don't hear of anybody drinking water, ask Allah, Allah, I drank water now, forgive me, next time I'll never drink water. So you think it's halal, it's permissible. So when you think it's permissible, will you ever have the heart to ask for forgiveness? No, you're not going to have the heart. So Shaitan said, then this is what I will do. That I will make him do the wrong under the pretext of right, under the cover, under the packaging of right. So he will see it to be right and he will do the wrong, whether it is usury, whether it is interest, whether it is gambling, whether it is whatever. It's repackaged. It's repackaged. When it's repackaged, now the consumer feels that it is permissible. Now this is the fitna, this is the wrong, this is the trial, and this is the imtihan of this day, that repackaging. We repackage any halal, any haram, we repackage it and we halalize the thing. Any haram, give us any haram, we will just design the thing and make it right. Now, it is so dangerous, such a dangerous game. Such a dangerous game. The person who did a haram over and over and over, a million times over, but he confesses, I've done wrong. Allah Ta'ala, doing it one time, two times, a million times I'm doing it, but Allah Ta'ala, I confess. Allah Ta'ala, I have the regrets. I have the remorse. So his chances to get forgiven are very great. If he's going to be sincere, Allah Ta'ala is going to just dynamite all the wrong, that all the wrong that he's done, he's going to flatten it. Because he still has the heart to say, Rabbana zalamna anfusana. He says exactly what his father had said, Adam alayhi salam had said. So because you followed the footstep of your father, therefore you will get the reward like your father had got. What he said, he came out and he confessed. Right? But if you moved away from your father's way, right, and you went to legalize, and you went to question the authority of Allah Ta'ala, right? Now then you have shifted away from Adam alayhi salam, you have gone to an alien path to legalize, to justify, to reason again, to counter reason, right? To counter reason, what is it? You have shifted away from Adam alayhi salam, you have shifted away from Adam alayhi salam, your father, when you went to counter reason and you have gone to Shaitan, because Shaitan also counter reason. When Allah Pak told him something, then he went to counter reason. Right? So that counter reasoning was whose work? Was it your father's work or was it an alien person, Shaitan's work? It was Shaitan's work. So then what's going to be the abode of Shaitan will be your abode. Allah Pak, when he counter reasoned, then Allah Pak told him, Fakhruj. Wa inna alayka la'anati ila yawmiddin. Perpetual curse. You see that? When he went and counter reasoned, he went to legalize, then what was the consequence? But when a person confessed, then what Allah Ta'ala did for him? No, I have accepted you. فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّي كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلِي. Allah Pak said, I embrace you. In my mercy, once again, I have embraced you. So anybody who is going to follow Adam alayhi salam after that, he's going to be embraced. And he'll be the Habibullah. He'll be the friend of Allah. Not only Allah Pak will embrace him, but Allah Pak will say that he is my friend. But this person here that went to legalize, he went to counter reason, then what happened? Fakhruj. He got expelled. And he got expelled so badly that he can't gain entry again. He's got expelled, and he got expelled so badly that there's no re-entry. فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ إِنَّ عَلَيْكَ لَعْنَةِ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. The roads are all sealed off, blocked off. Come what may, but the roads are all blocked off for you. See? So this istighfar and this tawbah, such an important aspect of our life. Like I said, the last sentence that was mentioned by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Amaghfirli warhamni wa alhiqni bil rafiqil a'la. Forgive me. So when we ask for forgiveness, we also ask for forgiveness in this way, Allah Ta'ala, for the wrongs that I've done knowingly and the wrongs that I've done unknowingly. The wrongs that I've done Sometimes it's knowingly that I've done wrong, and sometimes it is unknowingly that I'm doing the wrong. I don't know about it, but I'm doing wrong. One woman, she phoned up, and she says, you know, that Mawlana gave such a powerful bayan, you know. I viewed him, and it was a 3-hour bayan. Now I ask you, for that, one is the photography, leave the photography, right? But this woman that was viewing that man for 3 hours, was that an act of sawab? Or was it impermissible for her? Like your wife, for example, she has looked at a man for 3 hours. Would you allow that? Will any person that is sane in his head, he'll allow his wife to talk to a stranger for 3 hours? 3 hours. Now, this woman that is doing this, will she ever consider this to be wrong? She won't consider it to be wrong. Will she ever, I've seen this, will she ever consider this to be wrong? She's not going to believe it to be wrong. I'm listening to one bayan. It's a great ibadat I'm doing. I'm listening to one bayan, month of Ramadan, I'm listening to one bayan. Like it is wrong for you to look at a girl, then it is equally wrong for that girl to look at you. It's wrong for her, it's wrong for you to look at her, then it's wrong for you, for her also to look at you. It's not only one way. We think it's one way that we can't see them, but they must see us. We can't see them, but they can look at us. So if it is wrong on this end, then it's wrong on that end as well. See? But now you see how Shaitan, how he polished the whole thing. What a glossy look he gave it. Like I say, in day-to-day life, you're not going to allow your wife to look at someone for that. Not even for 5 minutes. Why are you looking there? What business have you got? Why are you looking towards that boy or towards that man? What's wrong? Won't you have that type of reservation? Are you going to have a reservation or not? You will definitely have that reservation, you see. So, explaining again the grace of Allah Ta'ala, that the wrong of this day, the challenge of this day is the challenge of justification. We're justifying it, legitimizing it. And we don't even realize it. And Shaitan says, I will put them into wrong and give it a glossy finish of right. So when he's going to have a glossy finish of right, then he's not going to ask for forgiveness for what he's doing. And this is how I will destroy them. See? So this is the challenge, this is the trial, this is the examination of this day. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq.